There's always one to be first. Actually, this isn't from me, because I think you all know exactly what we thought of Harry and how wonderful he was. But this is from Tineke in Holland. I decided to have a little phone call with her this week, and she said, "Oh, I will so miss you, and I've known Harry for so many years." So I said, "Well, why don't you email me something?" So this is Tineke from Holland. Fond memories of Harry. After attending our first service at chapel in August 1977, Mr. Workman visited us the very next day. That's when our friendship started. He became like a granddad to Hanneke and Hans, and years later to Toby and Naomi. Mr. Workman soon became Harry, down to earth, enthusiastic, always a listening ear and ready to help. That was Harry, and very sincere. He loved telling the children and grown-ups about Jesus, our Saviour, because he just loved the Lord so very, very much. With Easter coming up, it reminds me of our first Easter in England. Harry took the service and was at the door at the end, giving everybody an egg. My sister-in-law, from Holland, obviously, put hers in her handbag. My brother in the pocket of his coat. Fortunately, the eggs survived, but we had such a good laugh when we decided to eat our chapel eggs later that day. They were a bit messy. They weren't hard-boiled, as we thought, but they were raw. Fond and happy memories of dear Harry, who's meant so much to our family. As Naomi said to me on the phone, "Omar, I've never met such a kind and lovely man as Harry. He was just wonderful." I could not agree more. Meeting and knowing him has been a real blessing to us as a family and lots of other people. Thank you, Harry, for everything. We will never forget you.
Noreen, did you have any other messages from any other members of the family? You mentioned Matthew might have something. Can I hand it over to Keith?
This is a letter that, or an account that Matthew wrote many, many years ago. In fact, he's now 48, and I reckon he must have been about 9 or 10 when he wrote it. But he was... Mr. Workman had a great impression on Matthew, he really did. Every time we see him now, Mr. Workman, he's talked about.
I can again hear now.
This is what he said. "I attended Mr. and Mrs. Workman's Pathfinder Club. I enjoyed the club every Thursday because we have stories and games and refreshments. Mr. and Mrs. Workman are very kind, and we have a system of punches, not physical punches, punches in cards, we hope anyway, which we can exchange for sweets. We have outings, and I enjoy singing and acting at Easter and Christmas. I enjoy Mr. Workman's stories because he makes the Bible seem more real and interesting." I think we can all agree with that. "I enjoy the story about the soldier who put a Bible in his top pocket of his uniform and the bullet hit the Bible and saved his life. Signed, Matthew Carley." And we did actually phone him and say, "Can we have your permission to read it?" And he was delighted.
Thanks, Keith. We'll be asking other people for their contributions as well. But right now, we're going to have another hymn, and that's Blessed Assurance. So when the words come up, come to the front.
Hello. I could stand here for half an hour, so I need to get Tim to give me a kick to tell me to stop, because I've got so many memories and it's hard to find the ones that, just to condense them all, really. So I came here as a child in 1977. I was 4 years old when I walked through the door. My mum has memories of asking Mr. Workman if he would take me, even though he was only supposed to be taking children from about five or six. So I did creep in through the door a little bit early in about 1977, 78, when he started the Pathfinders group. Well, for those of you that are there at Thanksgiving service, I should think that you could probably visibly tell what Harry meant to me, because I was an absolute mess, and I think there was probably about 2 minutes where I was dry-eyed throughout the whole thing. Harry was like a father to me. He was a grandfather to me because of his age. He was a mentor to me. He gave me my morals. He gave me my ethics. He supported me, he encouraged me, and he was a vine who sent out his branches throughout the whole of my family. My brother and my sister have very fond memories of Harry. Interestingly, my sister said the other day, Harry always reminded me of the BFG, which I think one of the great-grandchildren also said at Harry's Thanksgiving service, he was the big friendly giant, if you've never read that Roald Dahl story. My brother, Harry is still writing to my brother up until 2 or 3 years ago. He's in a very high financial situation in London, struggling with life, and Harry was still connected to him. Sadly, my nan passed away about 8 years ago, but he was always a very supportive and loving friend to my nan, who had fond memories of him also, and he gave her a Gideon Bible, as he also gave one to me. This Bible, as you can see, has seen its wear and tear. It's got stickers in the back from the Pathfinder You see, what a mess. But, you know, it was a loved, loving Bible. He gave this to me in 1983. It was his writing in the front. Twinning Chapel was presented to Rebecca Webb for regular and loyal attendance at Pathfinders and Sunday morning worship. And the verse that he put in, Proverbs 3, verses 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And in those times when I didn't feel very close to God and I had lost my faith, thoughts of Harry always remained and pulled me back here. I was thinking of 1 Corinthians myself earlier, the last verse, faith, hope, and love. Harry always had faith and encouraged people around him to not only believe in the Lord, but have faith in themselves, to have hope in the Lord, but have hope in your own life. He was always just so encouraging, and the love that he shared, not only to me and my family, the children of the village. I remember sitting in his Volvo and him taking us to swimming in Pershore. I remember him taking us to play rounders on the village green. And there were some Pathfinders that were only summer Pathfinders, and they only came to play the sport on the village green in the summer. But Harry never had harsh words for them. If that was a way that he could speak to them, then that was good also. But most of all, love. Yeah, Harry was a man of great love who touched everybody who met him, and I'm just so proud and privileged to have known him and the blessing that he's had on my life. Thank you.
Thanks, Rebecca. Sam, how about can I bring this to you?
I'm actually going to echo quite a lot of what Rebecca just said, because my memories are similar, but mine are sort of entwined with Sycamore Chapel and with Norman and Carol as well, who were carrying on the sort of work that Harry had been doing as well. Really, I think we all knew Harry as an extremely kind gentleman and somebody who was an amazing role model. I always felt very, very proud to know him. And in fact, mentioning the Gideon Bible, he came to Tewkesbury School when I was about 13. And I was very proud to be able to say to my classmates that I actually knew Mr. Workman. And he didn't say in advance that he was coming. So it was a lovely, lovely surprise to have that assembly. And I was at school the other day, and Mum had let me know the sad news of Harry's passing. And that very day, I was rummaging in my drawer at work, and I actually found the Gideon Little Red Bible that he'd given me as well. And I thought that that was a rather nice way of remembering, and I'll obviously have that for a long time. I think what really struck me and was very, very humbling is when Harry explained to me once that he prayed for so many of us every morning, and all of us leading such busy lives. I found that quite awe-inspiring that somebody would spend that many hours thinking about individual people, and that I was able to count myself and Mum and Lottie and now my own very little Harry that I've been blessed with. It makes just is a very, very humbling thought that we were all in his thoughts and prayers. Yes, I think that he was a wonderful, wonderful gentleman, and I'm very, very thankful that I got to be part of his life.
Excellent. Thanks, Sam. And we're going to sing our next song, which is Come On and Celebrate. I think for this one, stay seated, because you're probably going to need your energy for the song that comes after that. But Sally will tell us more about that just now. This one is Come On and Celebrate. We're now going to hear from Sally, because Sally put all of these songs together. You can tell us a bit more about some of them.
You will have gathered that Harry loved his songs to be upbeat. And he loved the drums, and sadly Oliver couldn't be here today because he had to be at work. But we've held a singing meeting in the chapel for 19 years now, once a month on a Monday night. And in the summer of 2002, when Harry had moved back to Tewkesbury, he started coming to this meeting. And if I tell you, he came to 67 meetings That tells you something about me, that I'm an absolute nerd about statistics. But I was astounded because in terms of years, that's 5.5 years of meetings. And in 2006, he brought Pat. More recently, she brought him. And I have it in my records that the last time he came was December 12, when he was 95 years old, which is pretty amazing, isn't it? And he would still stand up for some of these songs, and we have a lovely photo of him and Dave Pitt standing next to each other at the singing meeting, looking absolutely so full of beans doing their singing. And he was absolutely enthusiastic, and all the songs I've chosen today, I could have chosen another dozen because there were so many that we associated with him. But this next song is called Teach Me to Dance. And this is the song he chose most often, and he loved, and he would stand to it, and he would probably dance as well if he felt like it, wouldn't he, Pat? So maybe we could do justice to this one now as we sing that one.
Thank you. Much has been said about Harry's passion for this chapel, for his dedication into building up the congregation, and for his passion for the children's work. And I just want to share a brief thought about how that has affected me personally, because it was through my youngest daughter, Gemma, coming to Pathfinders back in 1993. I can remember her coming home from a Pathfinders meeting and saying, "Mum, can we go to chapel on Sunday?" So we did, and a few months later, I had a very powerful experience here in the chapel, which led me to accept Jesus as my saviour. And so that is why Harry is special to me.
Thank you, Janet. Anyone else who'd like to say a few words? Yes. That would be fantastic. Great.
Harry Workman was my uncle, and he tells me that he remembers babysitting for me when I was a baby. So I think I must know him as long as a very long time. And he came to speak at Prior's Park one day, and he said, "I want to read a poem." And he read this poem. Halfway through, he stopped. And he said, "You know, this could be me." So I thought I'd like to read this poem that he actually read that day. "I had walked life's path with an easy tread. I'd followed where comfort and pleasure led. And then, one day, in a quiet place, I met the master face to face. With station and rank and wealth for my goal, much thought for my body, but none for my soul. I had sought to win in life's mad race when I met the master face to face. I built my castles and reared them high till their towers pierced the blue of the sky. I vowed to rule with an iron mace, but then I met the master face to face. I met him, I knew him, and blushed to see that his eyes were full of sorrow as they turned to me. And I felt faltered and fell at his feet that day, while castles simply melted away. Melted and vanished, and in their place I sought not else but my master's face. And I prayed aloud, 'Oh, make me meet to follow the path of thy wounded feet.' And now my thoughts are for the souls of men. I have lost my life to find it again. E'er since that day, in a quiet place, when I met the master face to face."
Can I say something from that? Well, I used to come and preach at this chapel about 50, well, just over 50 years ago.
And there were usually about seven or eight here. If you had eight, you had a crowd. And one day, Miss Bates, who ran the work, said to me, "Do you know someone who would come and preach here?" She said, "We can't get preachers very often. You know, some preachers, they don't want to go to a chapel when you've got eight people. They go where there's 50 perhaps, but not eight. Anyway, I said, I'll think." And I thought of Harry. One day I said to Harry, "Why don't you go and preach at Twenty Chapel?" He said, "I've never preached." And I looked at him and thought of his age, and I said, "Well, it's time you started." Well, he did start, and I think this was the first place he preached. And, of course, the rest is history, isn't it?
Does anyone else have anything they'd like to share about Harry? Anyone else? Oh!
Just a small statement. You know, Harry has left behind a great legacy, a dairy, a thriving church. But I feel the greatest thing that Harry has left behind is his last statement. You know, he preached a lot in this chapel. But his last words were a preach indeed. And his last words when he was passing away, saying goodbye to people, was that he knew where he was going. He knew where he was going. And that really is a great legacy that he's left behind. Harry Workman has gone to be with the Lord. He knew where he is going. And I suppose the message to each one of us is, do we know where we're going?
Thank you, Bob. I'm going to ask Chris if you have some words before we go into our song just before Wayne comes to talk to us.
Well, I've known Harry most of my life. Margaret and I both worked for Harry when we were young. And it was Harry who encouraged me to come into this chapel where, here in Twynning Chapel, I met the Lord. I suppose it could be fair to say that he bribed me with the use of a cement mixer, which we needed badly at the time. But one of my memories of Harry that goes right back is that he was always quite amused by the fact that he got a mention in the Bible. And I don't know whether you're aware of this, but Harry did get a mention in the Bible, because in 2 Timothy 2:15, it refers to him as a workman approved by God. A workman who does not need to be ashamed and who correctly handles the word of truth. And that was Harry, wasn't it? Harry's middle name was Oliver. But I think Harry's middle name should have been Barnabas. Because Harry, like Barnabas, was a great encourager. And I'm sure everybody here has got a testimony to Harry's encouragement in their life. You know, Barnabas in the Bible, his given name was Joseph. He was a Levite, and he came from Cyprus. But those disciples changed his name and called him Barnabas because of his character. Because they said he was a son of encouragement. And that was Harry, wasn't it? A son of encouragement. He encouraged us all. Barnabas was an encourager. He was a speaker. He was a church planter with Paul. In fact, we can say that because of Barnabas, we have the Apostle Paul. He was one who offered encouragement and consolation. And if you read the book of Acts, you'll find that God added to his life in a very profound way. Barnabas added to the church, but God added to his influence, insight, understanding, and devotion. Harry, like Barnabas, was an encourager, a great encourager. And I believe that one of our highest Christian duties is for each one of us to be an encourager. Harry encouraged this church, but Harry encouraged other churches as well, didn't he? Harry encouraged his family. And he encouraged his friends. In fact, Harry encouraged everyone, anyone, to come and know Jesus Christ as their Saviour. And now Harry can say, along with the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. You see, Harry knew the sovereignty of God and the reality of eternity. I read a little story recently about an 80-year-old man who was walking slowly down the street. And a friend coming the other way saw him and said to him, "And how is John Pierce today?" And he replied, "John Pierce is quite well, sir, thank you. And thank you for asking. But the house in which I live, or he lives, at present is becoming dilapidated. It is tottering on its foundations. Time and the seasons have nearly destroyed it. Its roof is pretty well worn out. Its walls are shattered, and it trembles with every wind. The old place is becoming almost uninhabitable. And I think that John Pierce will have to move out soon. But he is quite well, sir. Quite well." Friends, Harry is quite well. He has moved into a mansion. Friends, Harry preached his own Thanksgiving service by the way he lived. Harry was a workman approved by God. You know, we all need encouragement from time to time, don't we? And I'm very thankful that God put Harry in my life as an encourager. An encourager who saw the potential in me and who saw the potential of my relationship with the living God. Harry was an encourager. And he got it from the master encourager, didn't he? And I pray that we might reflect this quality in our daily walk with the Lord. May the Lord bless you, Harry, Barnabas, workman.
Thank you, Chris. We're going to stand to